Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for this weekend's heavyweight clash, Sergey Pavlovich taking on Curtis Blaydes. Now, this is a really interesting one for a few different reasons. I mean, Curtis Blaydes, of course, is the strongest wrestler in the division. You know, his wrestling prowess and the power of the drive of his double leg is enough to put, well, pretty much any heavyweight on their back. The times he struggled, though, are against people that hold their ground very well and have got very good counter-punching, and that's ultimately what Pavlovich is going to be trying to do in this fight. If he pressures too hard, he's going to make that takedown easier. It's a really interesting one, though, this is, and this is kind of the fight I feel like if Pavlovich picks this win up, he's definitely, you know, in the title picture. Before we go any further, I've got to give a shout out to our sponsors for the show, our friends over at Point 3 Gear. These are the new Full Reptile Point 3 collab shorts that we've just made with them. They are incredible. Of course, the design, we are responsible for that. We know you like the sticker bomb design, so we've revamped it and we've brought it back. And we've passed it over to Point 3, who make these incredible shorts. They are a lightweight polyester fabric. They're moisture wicking. They're very, very comfortable to wear when you're training. And the best thing about them are these built-in towel sections at the top either side of the hip. So, I mean, I've been using these for deadlifting all week. Between reps, if my hands are starting to get a bit sweaty and I'm losing my grip, put the bar down, wipe them on the towel on the shorts, and I'm straight back into my lift. They are, I mean, it's just a great idea, great design. Very comfortable, very lightweight. You can wear these in whatever kind of training or exercise or hanging out, or whatever you're doing. You won't regret buying a pair of these. Go to point3.com and check them out. You will love them, I'm sure. Okay, tale of the tape. So, Sergey Pavlovich coming in with a record of 17 wins and one defeat. That one loss was his UFC debut against Overeem. The only loss he's got on his record, it's the longest fight he's also had in the UFC, which is quite amazing considering it was still a first-round finish. Since then, he's been on a five-fight win streak. Marcelo Gomez, Maurice Green, Shamil Abdurakhimov, Derek Lewis, and then, of course, tied to Ivasa in his last one. And his last two fights were under a minute long. I mean, you know, he is a first-round finisher. But at the same time, he's not in a rush necessarily. And that's going to be important against Curtis Blaydes, who is a very strong wrestler. He doesn't particularly like to stand and trade with power punches. So we can kind of predict that at some point he's going to be level changing. But what we've seen in more recent fights is that he's starting to bide his time a little bit on his takedowns. Like if we go back to the Derek Lewis fight, his last defeat, which was a second round knockout, or we go back to his loss in Beijing against Francis Ngannou, same kind of situation. He's trying to get a takedown, so desperately trying to get a takedown that he's running on to punches. With Rosenstrike, he was far more comfortable with striking. He was timing his takedowns in a far more, you know, a far more measured way. He didn't look nearly as desperate to get the fight to the floor. And I think with Rosenstrike, because he is a power puncher, but he doesn't move very quickly, it was a good opportunity for Curtis Blaydes to kind of test his jab, you know, stay mobile, use his footwork a bit, and keep using that long reach that he's got, 80-inch reach. I mean, you know, he really should be using that jab more than we've seen him in the past. And then, you know, his next fight, of course, against Chris Daukaus, he caught him with that lovely counter right hand as Daukaus moved forward. And I mean, you know, I think you remember I picked Daukaus for that one. I've always thought Chris Daukaus was going to come into his own as a heavyweight, and he hasn't yet. But, you know, that was a really impressive performance from Curtis Blaydes, who was able to patiently pick him off. You know, of course, Chris Daukaus has got a good ground game, so that was going to throw a question into whether Curtis Blaydes was going to try and take the fight to the floor. He chose to strike, and he looked good doing it. Now, of course, this is a different fight again. You know, Pavlovich is a physically powerful heavyweight. He stands quite low and he's quite patient with his output. He's got a very, very good jab, so he measures the distance between him and his opponent very well as he edges his way into range. Now, when he does decide to go, he attacks very quickly, and that's why he's got so many first-round finishes. But there are certain things about his game that I think are going to be really useful against Curtis Blaydes. Now, the first thing that we see him do a lot is this. It's a very kind of Soviet Union-style check hook that he uses, kind of turns his knuckles down and hits here. The fighter that you see doing this a lot in boxing is Dmitry Bivol. He'll bounce in with a jab, he goes in and then out with this kind of curving check hook. It works really well for him, and often it gets people to kind of drop their head a little bit. And what you'll notice about Pavlovich's finishing ability, when he's closed people down against the fence and he's starting to see them move from these straight punches, he starts coming up the center line. Like we saw it against Marcelo Gomes, we saw it against Taito Iwasa in the finish, Abdurakhimov, Lewis, same thing again. He gets them backed up against the fence, their posture breaks, and he comes up the center line. And you know, if you're fighting someone like Curtis Blaydes, who has a really, really good power double, you know they're going to level change pretty much straight in front of you. You know their head's going to drop into that pocket. You've just got to make sure you're timing those punches at the right time so you're not punching too early and giving the takedown. You're not punching too late and the punch gets smothered. So what I expect from this fight ultimately is that Curtis Blaydes is going to try and hold his ground best he can and give Pavlovich the impression that he's going to stand and trade with him. And then when Pavlovich starts to get a bit over enthusiastic, he starts to move forward a bit more aggressively, that's when I expect Curtis Blaydes to level change. Now a lot of the time, and this happens a lot more in the lighter division, in the lower divisions as well, there's a lot of takedowns against the fence. People like to work takedowns against the fence and control their opponent up against the fence. What you'll notice with Curtis Blaydes, because he's got such a good drive on his double leg, he actually likes to have quite a bit of space behind him. So it's not a bad thing for him to be backed up against the fence here. If Pavlovich is kind of commanding the space with his jab and his check hook and he keeps threatening that uppercut, if Curtis Blaydes, even on the back foot, can sell the idea that he's going to throw punches and then level change with all of that space to drive into, and he can turn that corner, he might even be able to drive Pavlovich in almost like a 90-degree angle and drive him back into the fence to finish the takedown. Like, that might not be a bad thing, but what he has to be very careful of is being predictable on his level change. Like, this is always the situation when an opponent's backed up against the fence, and the example I always use is BJ Penn against Sean Sherk. And it's an older fight. Some of you might not have seen it. It's worth a watch. The reason why I use it as an example is because Sean Sherk was an excellent wrestler. 5'6", very physically strong, the muscle shark. You know, ground and pound was his game. BJ Penn, of course, is a fantastic grappler, but he was winning the striking exchange because, you know, according to Freddie Roach, BJ Penn's hands are some of the best he's ever seen in mixed martial arts, and I believe it. Like, the way that BJ Penn kind of walks people down could be very, very similar to what Pavlovich does to Curtis Blaydes. The beautiful thing about this fight is as BJ Penn got Sean Sherk backed up against the fence, he knew that there were three options, right? The first option is to move left, the second option is to move right, the other option is to level change. And if you've got someone that's a wrestler, same as Masvidal against Ben Askren, if you put them under pressure, they resort to their comfortable skill set, which is level change. Head down, hands out. Ben Askren ran onto a knee, so did Sean Sherk. And I'm not saying that Sergey's going to time his knee, but certainly the uppercut, which a Sergey Pavlovich uppercut is probably very similar to a knee from a BJ Penn or a Masvidal. Like, there's going to be a lot of power in that punch. It would require a lot less space and a lot less risk if he was jumping in with a flying knee. It would be potentially risky for a takedown. In fact, we saw that against Rosenstrike. Rosenstrike jumped in with a knee, and we got Curtis Blaydes level changing straight away onto it. I feel like Curtis Blaydes can absolutely get this fight to the floor. He has to set it up, though, because that uppercut is a serious problem for him. Pavlovich can absolutely catch Blaydes with the uppercut, but he has to time it right. If he's too aggressive, if he's trying to get him out of there in the first round, and this is the danger in being on such a win streak. I mean, you know, you look at the win streak that he's on. He's on a 5-fight win streak. He's beaten some big names, the likes of Derek Lewis and Taito Iwasa, and he's doing it all in the first round. If at any point it hits Curtis Blaydes and feels like he's hurt him, or he feels like he's intimidating Curtis Blaydes, it's gonna make him more aggressive. It's gonna make him more excitable, and that's really where we need to see him kind of take control of his emotions in this fight. You know, hold himself back a little bit and find his opportunities to land these strikes. Like, this is a 5-round fight. He's done 5 rounds before, but it was back in 2017 in St. Petersburg. He was fighting for the FNG Heavyweight Championship. Like, he's not really a five-round fighter, especially not at this level. I feel like if this becomes a 10-minute fight, it starts to lean towards Curtis Blaydes, because most likely he's going to have established himself in the striking, so he's got confidence in that range, and that's going to allow him to start setting up his takedowns if he hasn't already. Something else that I thought was quite interesting as well, because the effort of takedowns from Curtis Blaydes has dropped off against recent opponents. Like, if you go back and you look at his fight against, where is it? You go back and look at his fight against, Alexander Volkov is a good example. Mark Hunt, he got 10 takedowns against Mark Hunt in 15 minutes. Against Volkov, he got 14 takedowns in 25 minutes. That's a really, really high work rate. But then you look at his last couple of fights. I mean, there've been no takedowns against Daukaus or Aspinall because they were so short. But the Rozenstruik fight, over 15 minutes, there were 3 takedowns out of 6 attempts. Now, that's a considerable drop in effort. But what we have to remember is that he was racking up somewhere between 90 seconds and 3 minutes of control in each one of those rounds. So the point is, if he gets the takedown early in the fight, he's gonna be scoring control, he's going to be wearing Pavlovich out. But at the same time, Pavlovich is going to be able to scramble, he's going to be able to get back to his feet. He's got decent takedown defense. We've not seen him under a massive amount of takedown pressure. But I expect the earlier takedown attempts from Curtis Blaydes to be far more difficult to get than the later ones. If the fight is allowed to breathe a little bit and Curtis Blaydes gives the impression that he's going to start kickboxing, then his takedowns will come easier. And once they start to come easier, then he's got more energy to work on control. What he doesn't want to be doing is burning energy trying to get the fight to the floor. So when the fight is on the floor, he's just holding and controlling. The referee might stand him up. Pavlovich is not going to have as much fear of being taken down. Like, there are lots of different drawbacks to him exerting himself early. If I'm Blaydes, I'm working into the 25 minutes for this one. I'm making this as long as I can to make Pavlovich as uncomfortable as possible. You know, you push him into the second round and straight away it's new territory for him in the UFC. And you know, he's an experienced fighter. He's got 18 fights on his record. He's beaten some good fighters in his way into this main event here. Going back to your stool at the end of the first round and sitting down and going, okay, right, I've got 20 minutes left. This guy is going to be wrestling. He's going to be pushing a pace on me. Like, we don't know where his mindset will be in that second round. It will be a shock to his system for his UFC career, that's for sure. And the other thing as well is, you know, Curtis Blaydes is not just stopped by anybody. Like, he takes good shots, but the people that are knocking him out are the biggest punchers in the heavyweight division. So there might be a bit of a shock if Pavlovich cracks Curtis Blaydes and isn't able to put him away. Like, there's a lot of interesting questions coming out of this fight for me. I'm personally wondering whether Pavlovich has got the ingredients in his game to be able to be a heavyweight champion, especially now John Jones is back. But with Curtis Blaydes being such a strong wrestler, and wrestling being such a fundamental part of controlling an MMA fight, you've got to keep an eye on Curtis Blaydes. It's kind of like the anomaly in this division. What haven't I said? Let me have a quick look at the tail of the tape. Because, so like I said, Pavlovich's takedown defense isn't too bad. I mean, it's at 66%, but that's based on 3 takedown attempts. If I remember right, I did make a note of this. So Overeem attempted 2 takedowns and scored 1. Abdurakhimov attempted 1 and failed. So his 66% takedown defense is based on stopping 2 of 3 takedown attempts, which is not a lot. And he's coming in against Curtis Blaydes, who's probably going to, you know, he's probably going to shoot 3 takedowns in the first round if he decides he wants this one on the floor. It's going to be a much higher work rate for Pavlovich if he is forced to wrestle. I would like to see where his gas tank is, because again, if he keeps progressing, if he ends up fighting someone like a Miocic or a John Jones, wrestling is a big component that he's going to have to deal with. We know he's got power striking and we know he's very accurate with his striking. My question around Pavlovich, especially in a 25-minute fight, is where that drops off. At what point does he start to get too tired? Does he start to look a little defeated? You know, kind of like he did in the final moments of the Overeem fight. It was, it seemed to me almost like a little bit of he looked a little bit overwhelmed in the moment. You know, UFC debut, taking on Alistair Overeem. He was undefeated, of course. That brings an additional pressure to it. I think he felt like the pressure was on him because people were expecting a lot of him. And then he steps into his debut against Overeem. That was a big test for him. But now, because he's proved himself in the UFC, there's a lot of excitement around him again. People are excited to see him progress towards the heavyweight belt. But we don't know how he's going to deal with a big wrestler over 25 minutes. And if he's able to, and I would like to honestly see him deal with some wrestling adversity, because it would give me confidence for him going into a fight against John Jones. Whether John Jones is going to wait around that long or not, that's a whole other question. What else haven't I said? So let me quick go through the tail of the tape, because I don't think I did. Did I skip over the tail of the tape, Jamie? I kind of feel like I might have done a little bit. Okay, so we got 17-1 for Pavlovich. Yes, I did, because that's where I derailed myself, my thinking. 17-1 for Pavlovich. The one loss, of course, is to Overeem. 17-3 with one no contest for Curtis Blaydes. His losses are to Ngannou and Derek Lewis. Now, considerable different average fight time. 2 minutes and 15 seconds for Pavlovich, which is ridiculous, compared to 9 minutes and 37 seconds. Again, the longer this fight goes, the more it starts to lean in Curtis Blaydes' direction. We know he's got the conditioning to push this fight, and I think he's gonna have to get the victory here. A 1-inch height advantage for Curtis Blaydes, a 4-inch reach advantage for Pavlovich. Again, he's got such a good jab, long jab, bivel hook, uppercut. I feel like they're going to be his main routes to victory. Get Curtis Blaydes reacting to that lead hand. It keeps him safe on the outside, so if Curtis Blaydes does start to level change, he's either got the time to defend it, to move, or to set him up for the uppercut. But that lead hand is going to be key, and he is very, very good with it. But then, you know, Curtis Blaydes' jab's improving as well. So it might not be the easiest of range to dominate in. But still, lead hand's going to be key. Of course, strikes landed per minute is considerably higher for Pavlovich, given the fact that his fights are so sure. 8.07 compared to 3.54 for Blaydes. Same striking accuracy, both 51%. More strikes absorbed per minute by Pavlovich, and I think if he is taken down, that's going to change again, because Blaydes is just going to keep racking up strikes if it's on the floor. Control and strike. We could seriously see some stats changing on Pavlovich's record here, especially the takedown offense, which, as I said, is at 66% at the moment, based on only 3 takedown attempts. Average takedowns per 15 minutes, none for Pavlovich, 6.05 for Curtis Blaydes. An incredible output when it comes to wrestling. And of course, because it's such an expected part of his game, you've got to think it's going to be a distraction for Pavlovich all the way through the fight. Every time he steps to punch, he's going to be thinking, I might have to deal with a takedown. Every time Curtis Blaydes steps forward to punch, he's going to be wondering whether he's going to level change underneath it or really commit to those power punches. You know, there's a lot of good wrestlers that, because they've got good wrestling, Michael Chandler's a good example, because he's so good bouncing in and out, because he's got such a low stance and a good level change, people don't know whether his cross is coming or whether he's going to tackle their legs. If Curtis Blaydes can play on that uncertainty, then he can start landing some big punches of his own. And he's a big guy. I mean, you know, he's topping the scales at 265. If he hits you, he's going to hurt you. And this is for me, is more of a confidence thing for Curtis Blaydes. When he establishes his confidence in his striking, which I feel like we saw glimpses of in the Rosenstrike fight, then we're going to start to see that power come through. And a wrestling foundation is a really good support basis for striking confidence. You know, even really, really good strikers, when they cross over into mixed martial arts, their level of striking drops off because of the threat of a takedown. But it works both ways. If you come in with a really good wrestling background, you can add strikes onto it with the addition of the confidence that you can wrestle as well. Something I had to work against a little bit in my early career. Now, of course, we're going to see what Sergey's real takedown offense looks like and how many times he can defend takedowns. And if he gets taken down, how many times he can get back to his feet before he starts to get tired. I mean, you know, Curtis Blaydes is not really going to be working for submissions too much. I don't really think Sergey Pavlovich is going to be, unless he finds himself in a dominant position where Curtis Blaydes is already hurt. So, but now I'm seeing an arm triangle from Curtis Blaydes if he's in top position for long enough. I'll be honest, I overlooked this fight when I first saw it as a main event. I thought to myself, oh, okay, yeah, should be a fun one, should be an interesting one. But the more I've thought about it, the more I've researched it, the more I can see different ways that this is going to play out. And I feel like Curtis Blaydes is a really, really good test to see the rest of Sergey Pavlovich's game. Like the parts of his game we haven't had the opportunity to see yet, because we've not seen him in the second round. We've not seen him under pressure, you know, from top position consistently over minutes. And how does he deal with that? What's his escaping like? It's a fun fight. I'm excited for this one. I'm excited for this one. I feel like we've got a title contender in this fight for sure. And they're going to be moving one of these guys in that direction. So it's definitely one that's worth keeping an eye on, worth paying attention to, just like the rest of the heavyweight division will be, because both of these guys are very problematic for everyone in this division. Anyway, make sure you watch this fight. You will enjoy it, I'm sure of it. It's a good card underneath as well. And make sure you check out point3gear.com. Get this new Full Reptile Point3 Gear collab. They are fantastic. You'll love these shorts. Buy yourself a pair. Take a photo and tag me in it, because I like to see people working out in the gear that we've created. We love it, and we know you will as well. All right, enjoy the fights, and I'll see you next time.